Welcome to this week's podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, Digital Content Manager.ie. This week, I welcome and speak to Dorothy Ann Graham O'Dell. She is a live show host and also the author of the Overcomer Playbook. We've all had challenges and things to overcome from time to time.
Hello, Dorothy Ann. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. So can you firstly tell me who you help, how, and also we're going to talk about your book, which I was about.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Rosemary. It's an absolute pleasure to get to know you. Who I help? Well, I am making a movement of helping people know that they matter and that they're not alone in their circumstances. Growing up in different situations, I felt very alone and promised myself that once I got past that, I would make sure that no one else knew what that was like. You know, because in the depths of feeling like you're alone, there's despair, there's anxiety, and the way the world is right now, a lot of people are struggling with. So I help people that are struggling with either mental health issues or, you know, not feeling, or we do a lot with veterans as well. So Ernie, I absolutely love it. Love our veteran community and our first responder community, getting to know them. It's like a brother and sisterhood all in itself. And just really focusing on those people that feel like they don't matter, and just trying to make sure that they know that they are worthy and that they're not alone.
But yeah, I totally agree, because when people feel all those things, it affects people's confidence. As you know, if someone smiles at you confidently, the world is a nicer place. If someone's looking very insecure, certain people can sadly take advantage of all those kind of things. So I think it's brilliant what you're doing. Now, you wrote the Overcome Playbook. Can you tell me, obviously writing a book, and well done, because a lot involved. What lessons did you learn writing that?
Well, that's a great question. So I wrote that book because I wrote the first book, The Overcomer, which was my life story of how I overcame, you know, bullying, low self-esteem, abusive relationships, and family trauma, including the suicide. Okay, so by sharing my story, people know that they're not alone in their circumstances, but by writing the Overcomer Playbook, it was seven steps that I used to overcome all of those past trauma. It takes you on a journey of, you know, the steps to get yourself over and overcome those situations. So in writing my first book, I learned a lot about the healing journey that I had taken myself on. Right now, we started a revolution with a hashtag healed is sexy. So it's just finding the healing in those traumas. I thought, well, way then to write another book about how I did that. So it's the how-tos of becoming the overcomer.
Very good. Because like most of us have to actually do things. And sometimes it can be very, very hard to get started. And the fact is, it's a playbook. It gives you, it's like a recipe if you're cooking a cake. You're giving people the ingredients. And there were a few kind of core things you had in the book about being unstoppable. And that's something we all want. And life has the stop. It's like we've traffic lights. Stop, go, yes. Stop, go. Having the tools to help us stay on track. Things happen. We get sick. COVID happens, which could have been a health challenge. It could have been a business challenge. So how to overcome is very important. Now, one thing to mind when we're talking about overcoming is we can have all get goals, and all of it will take the typical one. And you say, I'm going to get up on a Monday morning, you're going to do all these. And then there's another little person in your head that says, it never works. So these are the kind of things that you are teaching. So what are, you believe, the best tips to help in the playbook? And how does someone use the playbook to help? Sorry.
Great. You know, this morning, every other Saturday morning, I meet with seven amazing women. And this morning, it kind of came out with your weight loss. You have to decide that you want to change. If you have stuck in your excuses, if you're like, okay, sucks, and, you know, I'm overweight, and no matter what I tried, it never works, like you had said. The first thing you need to do is, obviously there's a negative belief there, right? And so in order to get past any situation, number one, you have to identify what that belief is. and really where it stemmed from. And 9 times out of 10, it's not from something that just weak. That is something that you've had from your childhood, right? And in my healing journey, I went back, I was like 2 or 3, first memory that I had of some stuff that had happened, and it had still impacted me to this day. Like the fact that, okay, so my brother is 2 years younger than I am. So my grandmother was driving and the car door somehow magically opened and he fell out and he fell out of the, now thank God my grandmother doesn't drive too fast. So he fell out and I had told my grandmother, you know, you got to stop because my brother was outside of the vehicle. So stops, get him inside, took him to the doctor and everybody's questioning me. Well, how did he get out of the vehicle? Right. Cause I was in the back seat with him.
Yeah.
But I was just a young girl, had no idea what was going on. To this day, I still have no idea how he got out of the car. And so, the doctor's checking him over and I was doing like a full physical of him, checking everywhere on his body. And he says, well, it's not that down below. It's my head. My head's the one that got hurt. Because he had a bump on his head. Yeah. So the nurse questioning me and things like that, I somehow got that when somebody questions me, it's my fault. And had I not done the inner work, that I would still be upset when people question me. Now I know it's just a question. There is no offense to it. Like they're not making me wrong. They're just asking me a question. All my life, I had thought, well, if you question me, then I did something wrong. So those are the types of things. And, you know, I like to call them triggers as well. Like if somebody says to you, it could take you back to a moment is from your childhood or from a different situation. Say, like I've had 10 years of healing journey. And if my husband says a certain thing that my ex used to say, it triggers me. And it takes me back to that time. It has nothing to do with what my husband actually said, but it took me back to that time. I identify that problem. And then, you know, I find out what's leaving in that moment, put the truth to it, continue on. So it's really important to number one, to decide that you need to fix whatever that you're going through and make that conscious decision. So with weight loss, you have to decide that you really want to lose the weight and take the steps necessary in order to do that, right?
Yeah. And you like basically is telling yourself a story and telling yourself the right story is kind of like both of us create content. And equally, there has to be a structure, there has to be a plan, and a plan that is simple. Because in my experience, I don't know about yours, if it isn't made simple, it can go on a long finger, or, you get less done because there's all those sides. Where if you simplify it and there's a kind of logic, this is what happened. Now I don't want it to repeat again. So this is what I do to avoid repeating again. And that is, like what you're doing in the book is absolutely great to help people become unstoppable. Because what a lovely thought, especially in the world we are living in. Another part in your book you mentioned about people journaling and writing. Why do you believe journaling is, since to freelancers here and coaches and all these people write?
Right.
So why do you believe journaling helps as well?
So for me, journaling is there. So anything that I have like a thought or a belief, my morning, I start off with meditation and then I do my gratitude and then I journal anything that came out of my meditation and gratitude. Or if I'm really stuck in a problem, like I'm maybe the last couple of days, I've just been struggling with something, not really sure what it is. So I'll take the time, sit in a quiet place and just journal my thoughts. By writing those thoughts down, you actually, it gets it out. It gets it on paper and it gets it from your head out of your system so that it's not constantly repeating inside your head, right? Because you can think about things all day long, but you're just going to sit there and fester about it. But for me, journaling is therapeutic. And then my dad always had this. He never went back for anything. He gets in the car. He absolutely refused to turn around and go back. That's good in one sense. But in another sense, if you're journaling, you can also see the growth patterns. Like I look at my journals that I had back when I was in my abusive relationship 10, 15 years ago. And I look where I'm journaling at now. it's completely night and day. So you actually get to see the trail of your growth pattern.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. When you, even at the end of a week, if you take a note of what went well this week, what didn't go well, what can I improve? Very, very simple things. And that equally applies when we're doing content and all those kinds of things. So I know this is a hard, do you really think, is that tool that really makes people overcome and shine? You know, like you've given us the recipe book, you know, and different people learn and react in different ways. Mm-hmm. So is now, if really stands out on that, if it does, because I am conscious people learn. Mm-hmm. Different things work for different people.
Right. Absolutely 100% true. And I've always, you know, growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of friends. I was kind of a loner. I know, hard to believe. I'm outgoing now, but I was a loner back then. And maybe one or two good friends. And my dad used to have this saying where, you know, a girl can't have more than two friends because then they'll just, you know, turn on each other. And I thought, well, no, that's this, right? And, but I have a tribe of women that serves me. And things like, and don't let me give up on myself. So in finding my tribe, I found more of myself, and it's give up for myself, but I don't want to give up for these ladies either. Right. Because if in my dreams, you know, we're all here helping each other out, and that is of it. And in part of the seven steps, one of the steps is self-care. And I used to think that taking care of myself is selfish. I had a grandmother growing up that said, you know, take care of your man. You're put on this earth to cook, clean thing for him. And I was just like, okay, grandma. I found these women and I started digging into this and realizing that I basically, for 43 years out of the 46 years that I've been on earth, I catered my life around what everybody else wanted. And I thought, how insane is that? How insane is that? And now I make me a priority. I make sure that, you know, I get me time. Like I start my first hour of the day at 4:30 in the morning. No one's up. No one's going to bother me. Trust me, nobody in this household gets up at 4:30. My husband loves to sleep. I'm not really like, my philosophy is dead. Obviously, that's not true now because I realized that you need your sleep in order to get rest and refreshed and be a better version of you. So, but yeah, taking care of yourself is not selfish. And as a matter of fact, you know how you go onto the plane and they say, put your oxygen mask on first, because if you don't, you can't help anybody else. So it actually took my dad getting cancer for me to go to a therapist. And like, I had been through all the stuff growing up, never helped. When I left my abusive relationship, I did seek some counseling within the church and things like that. But so I had gotten some counseling. And the first thing she said to me was, what does your self-care look like? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I was working a full-time job. I was planning a wedding. My hero just got diagnosed with cancer. And there is no, right? And this was before I started doing my own shows and writing the book and things like that. And she says, well, if you don't start taking care of yourself, you're not going to be here. Like, okay. So it made me take a really good hard look at myself, what I was doing. Why, you know, it's, I make time for myself because I never had done that before.
Yeah, and it makes it obvious. And like one thing, I suppose, working online, you learn to see things change and adapt, and that mm-hmm. you do need to take a step back, what works and what doesn't. And especially if you're in a very fast moving situation. So I think that is very, very good advice, because the way I look at it is, if you don't look after, if it's in business, you can't look after your clients. If it's your mm-hmm. personal life, if you're just ratty because you're tired and you're not looking after yourself, you're going to take it out on your nearest and dearest. You take things out on them, they might say something back and they'll come back to you. So I think that is very good advice in so many ways. Now, are you really trying to achieve with the Overcomers Playbook?
With the playbook, I just want people to be healed. I really would like, because you actually started a hashtag last week called Healed is Sexy. So hashtag Healed is Sexy, use that hashtag out there, folks. And don't get me wrong, healing is a journey. You, in my opinion, you're going to that happened to you your entire life. We never arrive at it, but at least we're better than the person that we were the day before. And as long as you keep beating your personal best and don't compare yourself to others, that's basically all anybody can ever ask of you. And so what I'm out to achieve with the book is teaching people, hey, wait a minute, to have that better life, right? To go from surviving to thriving, to creating the roadmap that you need to go from surviving to thriving, to be happy. You know, not there's tons of people walking the streets alive, but dead inside. They are just, they're at their last straw. They don't care about nothing. They just putting one foot in front of the other, hoping that, right? And you are your own miracle, right? And if you don't start advocating for yourself, then no one's going to do it for you. Always been a big believer of that. You know, I've had this other element of self-care and doing things for myself. It's just putting the missing pieces together. We're actually starting a group course too. I believe the last week of May, we're putting that together on Thursday nights. So if anybody's interested in that, it will be 7 weeks where we'll get together as a group. We'll go through the playbook together as well. And that way we can build that community. Build that community of trust and things like that, and helping each other get to the next level, not letting each other give up on themselves, because I think that was my missing formula for my success. Excuse me. Growing up, I had several different businesses. I think I started my first business with Party Light Candles. You know, I've been in financial services, insurance, things like that, travel agent at one point. And, you know, you get to a certain point and then I was self-sabotaged. But by having people around you that don't let you give up, self, I believe that that's what's important and that's what's needed. So we're building that tribe, and around the 7 steps to the playbook, and, people not give up on themselves, letting people know they're not alone, and just, having people that are free.
Yeah, very good. And what I ask quite a bit is, and you must as well, is women who do not believe they can.
Yes.
And if women can work together and help and support each other and see their other qualities and skills. You were telling me, no disrespect, I'm sure your granny was absolutely brilliant, but it was not what you could do, is you just look at her. And I don't mean that in a bad way against
No,
us.
I get it. Well, and that's how she grew up, right? That's what her mother told her. She tried to tell my mother, yeah. My mother's suffering. Love the woman to death, but so my mom was part like me, thinking, okay, there's got to be something than just this, right? So I think what each generation tries to do is do better. And my parents definitely did better than their parents, and I'm trying to do better than my parents with what I know. We only know what we know. And we can't, it's funny, getting off a little bit off topic, but I think of all these kids that blame their parents. Well, your parents are doing a damn good job. It may not be that they know. Let's just put it, they are doing the best job they can with what they know. And some people want the education and some people don't. And to me, it's just trying to do better each day, right? And if we can just do better, then that's anybody can ever ask.
Yeah, if either of us, I can't see it happening, decided to climb Mount Everest, it starts with one step. If we keep taking the one step, we get there in the end, which is very important. Now, yes. Any more plans for any more books?
Well, I am a co-author on another book, which I hope will be coming out soon. I don't have a release date yet, but it is about body image. And so 7 of those incredible women told you about that I meet on Saturday mornings, we have put our in a chapter story. We talk about our body image and, you know, no matter if you're skinny, weight, it doesn't matter. Each one of us have our own journey. And even somebody who is extremely thin can still have insecurities, body insecurities, right? And because I used to work with this lady back in the day, I was putting myself through college, and there's no bigger around, I could probably put my hands around her waist. raised. And of course, I was always obese and things like that. And she goes, oh, I just wish I was a little bit, you know, that I had some meat on my bones. But no matter how much she ate, she just couldn't gain the weight. And people were being mean to her because she was too skinny. And I'm like, so it just made me realize, no matter where we're at in life, is there happy? Who cares? Right. And as long as your health is for us and not anybody else. And as long as you're good in your skin, that's all that really matters. So, so that will be the next book coming out.
Very good. Because actually I was interviewing someone else who wrote a book, a bit different. I don't know if you have it in your part of the world. It was about confidence, and the other stuff done Colour Me Beautiful. That will be all about colours and coordination and all. But being is so relevant is if we don't see ourselves in the right light, it's very, very hard. Yeah, there's a pride to see themselves in the right light. So I think that will be an extremely helpful book. And in keeping in touch with me when it's created and everything else. For content, you're a great content creator.
Oh, thank you.
Any final tips for our listeners to try, overcome, and be overcomers?
Absolutely. You know, I think if you're true to yourself, you know, that is a huge thing. A lot of us, like I said, overcompensate and try to be somebody who we're not. Don't do that. Just be you. Who cares what everybody thinks? They don't pay your bills. They don't, somebody else's opinion of you does. So 40 years to finally get that, folks. So if you can get one thing out of what I said today, every business owner that I've interviewed, and it's been over almost 70 episodes, they always say, you know, working on themselves and having a morning routine is critical. Without a morning routine, you're basically shooting darts. And no matter what your routine is, it doesn't matter, but it has to be what you will stick to. So like, for instance, I said that mine's meditation, the first 10 minutes of meditation, and then, gratitude, and then journaling. So whatever it is that will make you your highest, your best self, pick that and stick with it is my tip.
Doing what actually suits you or is a fit for you.
Yeah.
The right mindset to get more done during the day. And if you're in business and you get more done in the day and you have a plan, that is good for your business. So I have to say, I agree very much what you say there. So Dorothy, yeah. I say a special thank you for joining me on this week's podcast.
Absolutely.
And obviously, I do let us know about your new book when you have it ready.
Sorry, I was just looking at my phone because there's this book that I listened to. It was an audio book. And he said there are three things that, since we're talking about business, we could have like a laundry list of things to do. But he says, start your morning off, write a list of three things that you're going to accomplish that day. Because those things, it sets yourself up powerfully. Yeah. And if you don't get it done, don't knock yourself up about it. What did you learn from not getting it done? You know, and that has stuck with me ever since I listened to this book, and I wish I could find it. That's why I grabbed my, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Agree with you, you know, like motivate each other and everything. And we've doing things together is you're better off quite often doing less is more. Do less, get it accomplished, then do more. And if you see a big laundry list, you're going to feel overwhelmed and you might end up getting nothing done.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, Dorothy Ann. Very good advice. And thank you for
having me, Rose.
Many thanks for listening to this week's podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, Digital Content Manager. I work for freelancers, coaches, and adults with dyslexia. I create digital content and I also train. Or do you need help with LinkedIn? I am a certified LinkedIn insider. So get in touch with me. Email me at contact@digitalcontentmanager.ie. Or get in touch on LinkedIn. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy.